The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
We're here for Kerr's Hire, by the way.
Absolutely,
we are. How good to be here.
Jared, Gary.
And the team.
Yeah.
North Geelong Grove, Darling Ocean Grove. Two in a row that have been very impressive from the Cats.
Absolutely.
Three on the bounce now.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good game. It was a high-quality game, a lot of pressure. Very windy at the G, quite blustery. I know it's blustery generally, but I think it was blustery to the to a much higher degree than what it normally is. And
to the nth degree?
Well, I don't know about the nth degree, but maybe to sort of the F degree. Not quite further along the alphabet than the right. nth degree. But, look, it was a good effort. I mean, Hawthorn are a good, very good team. And just talking to people who don't barrack for either side, they were commenting on how good the game was, which is generally a good indicator of because you're not always a great barometer of your own team.
No.
So I spoke to a few people who had no skin in the game, and they were up and about the quality of the game, which is always a good indicator. So Cats were great. Losing Guy Myers wasn't ideal. They were able to overcome that. I mean, the themes that we've spoken about, Kingy, on the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast across this whole season, you know, we're just sort of talking about them again, really. I mean, Dangerfield good again, 15 touches and 3 goals. I reckon that's 30 possessions and 7 goals in his last 2 games, and I'd argue that they are more impactful than
yep.
any of his Brownlow medal winning, Brownlow medal vote getting games of when he was winning Brownlows.
Yep.
But that's goes to show, I reckon, the Brownlow's done as an award. I have absolutely no interest or faith in it anymore, but he won't probably get. Do you reckon he'll get Brownlow votes?
Might get one.
Maybe. Because he doesn't get it 35
times. But who's getting the 3 and the 2 from that contest? It was players that bobbed up all over the place. Like Sean Manor got the 10 coaches' votes.
Yeah.
So 2 5s from the coaches.
I would have thought Atkins would be in there for votes.
Let me have a look. At the coaches' votes were an interesting.
Were they an interesting potpourri?
They were potpourri.
Were they?
Atkins didn't get a vote.
At all?
No.
Well, were we at the same game?
Sean Manor, 10.
Yeah, well, he played well, but I don't know about 10, yeah.
Bailey Smith, 6.
Yeah, he was good.
John Newcomb, 4.
Yeah, he was good.
Carl Amon, 3.
Well, he played well in the last quarter. I don't know about up till then.
Patrick Dangerfield, 3.
Yeah, he played well.
Gunston, 2.
Yeah, I suppose he was dangerous. He didn't make the most of his opportunities. I mean, what do you have, 3 out in the full? Yeah, look, he was dangerous at times, but he didn't make the most of it.
Lloyd Meek, 1.
Yeah, don't know about that.
Mark Blitzarves, 1.
Yeah, I don't know about that either, to be honest with you.
So
Atkins didn't get a vote.
So Atkins and Lawson Humphreys are probably the two that I raise my eyebrows at not having a vote there.
Absolutely. I can't believe Tom Atkins didn't get a vote in that.
Yep. 24 disposals, 9 tackles, 7 clearances.
Yeah, he was
16 contested possessions. The next best contested possession winner on the ground was 11.
Yeah, so this goes to show. That's why these awards are just rubbish. They're just absolute A-grade rubbish.
I think the Players Association award is.
Possibly, yeah. There's a very limited number. The coaches' ones, if they're actually giving them, do you reckon? Do you reckon the coaches actually give them?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, it's the media blokes. Says you do it. I could not care. The coaches couldn't give a stuff. If the team's just been rolled by 90 points, do you think they're sitting down thinking, "Geez, he was good. He was good." It's just crap. It makes my. I just get. The coaches
makes
are not
you,
doing
makes
those
you
votes.
Irate, Benny.
I reckon the coaches are not doing those votes. So it's just absolute crap.
Okay.
Take no notice of it. The Brownlow is rubbish. Is the most rubbish award in sport.
Has been for 30 years.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. We need to have outsiders, best forward, best midfielder, you know, in a position.
Yep.
Not just the bloke who gets it the most.
Yep.
If you get it 40 times and kick it to no one, you'll still get the votes.
Yep.
Dangerfield, Tom Mitchell.
Matt Prittis.
Just got the ball a lot. Had no impact. Or very limited impact. Dangerfield had impact.
Oh, Dangerfield, the year he won the Brownlow.
He was good.
He was huge.
He coughed it up a lot, though.
But he was
He'd kick it to anyone.
But he was still big.
He was. He got the ball a lot. So you have to be under the nose. But I just argue that 15 possessions and 3 goals for him.
I think it was
16 and 4 against Adelaide. Yeah. That's real impactful on the contest. I thought Tyson Stengel played quite well. Thought he could have been in the mix for. I know he didn't kick a goal.
17 disposals, 4 tackles.
Yeah, he just played well. He was involved. He didn't get the reward on the scoreboard, but I thought he was good. And he actually lifted a little bit and played a slightly different role when Myers went off. Mm. I think he had to sort of get on his bike a little bit. And he did that really well. So, look, there was a lot of players there that could get votes, but I was staggered that Tom Atkins didn't get any.
If they were grading a player 1 to 44 on the ground, Ollie Henry would have been somewhere in the 40s.
Yeah, he would have been well down in the
40s. Is he playing against Carlton on Sunday, or is he... Does he need a spell? Does he need to set the GPS for Princes Park?
Look, I'd have to say it's...
Has it reached a tipping point?
It's reached a point, King. Have you ever reached a tipping point? I had a couple of them once. Right.
Do you know what?
Anyway, like,
just
we're alive,
to remind
aren't
you
we?
Alive,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. I was going to say something there that I thought could edit out, but
no.
Yeah, look,
so
I'd
why
have...
would you say it? If you know it's going to be edited out, why do you say it?
Because I just like to see your reaction, and then I hope against hope that it slips through to the keeper, and then somebody texts you saying, I can't believe what you said.
And
on
you
that
create company. Work for me.
Yes, I do like
yeah,
to create.
It's great. This podcast was your idea, but I do all the work.
Well, and that's how it should work, I think.
It's called delegating.
That's how it should roll. What were you just talking
about? Ollie Henry.
Yeah, look, I think you're probably right. Does Myers going out alter the mix a little bit with no sort of... I know he plays a different role, but he's predominantly, well, you know...
Dangerfield has hurt Ollie Henry.
Oh, we said that last week.
Yeah.
I've got no doubt. I asked James Kelly, yeah. And he didn't deny it.
No.
He actually, without saying it has,
yeah.
He said it has.
He has, yeah.
He was as diplomatic as he could be, yeah. But he so, certainly wasn't saying no, no, no. So, because, I mean, I look at the start of the game. Who's the deep forward? I think might have been Cameron or Shannon Neal in the square. Who's standing next to him?
Cameron. Dangerfield.
Yeah. Who's on the wing?
Ollie Henry.
Yeah. So they're trying to ask him to play a position that I don't know how much he's trained that. Yeah. Has this happened on the run? Have Geelong... I mean, Dangerfield...
We always knew he was going forward this
year.
Yeah,
well, they must... So have they trained Ollie Henry to play in another position, knowing that that position that Ollie Henry plays, he was no longer going to be able to play because Dangerfield was going to be playing it.
And maybe...
So if they haven't trained Ollie Henry to play elsewhere, and then they've just said, here, you go play your position, but, oh, actually, by the way, that's not really your position anymore because Dangerfield's there, but we think you're good enough to still be in the team, but we'll try and put you somewhere else... That's probably on the club a little bit. So, and we don't know that. But I do agree, he probably does need to go back to the twos, you know, just find a little bit of ball, snaffle the odd sausage roll. The thing that I've noticed with him, and, you know, I'm cheering for him to find form, is he's just fumbling. Mm. He's lost all confidence. The few little half chances that he's had, even against Adelaide, he fumbled the ball.
Mm.
He did one really good chase down tackle. In the last quarter of Aim, was it Eamon?
I think it was, yep.
But he's just not getting involved enough. But he is fumbly, which is always a sign you're down on confidence. Yep. So maybe going back to the twos. Now, he probably goes back to the twos and maybe plays the role that he could play at the senior level. Mm. And he's going to be a cut above in the twos.
I was going to say, is he a player, though, that going back to the twos? Like, what are you sending him back to do? Because the way he operates and his football IQ, like it's a bit like when Grime Myers spent that year in the VFL when he first came into the system. He had to do it. But at the end of Grime Myers' first year, nobody thought Grime Myers was going to have the career he's had so far.
Absolutely not.
No.
Even Grime.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
But he had to play at the next level because that's where his football IQ and his nous was going to be better suited. Ollie Henry in the VFL, like people think he's going to go to the VFL and kick five or six. That's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it is either. But he would hope that he would find a little bit of the ball. He would be probably...
Maybe you play him up the ground as a high half forward slash winger.
Maybe to get him... Well, I mean, they've tried that at the senior level.
Do you do that at VFL level where it's a bit slower?
Yeah, possibly. You just try and get his hands on the ball a little bit. Try and get him a game where he gets it 15, 16, 17 times. And if he can contribute a couple of goals, fantastic. But he just needs to be involved in a game, feel like he's involved. Because watching him, he looks like he's really chasing the game all the time and it's not coming to him. He's getting into the wrong spots. He's not sure where to run when he plays up the ground. And he's not hitting the scoreboard. So I do reckon it's reached a tipping point. I just wonder, with Myers out, what do they do there? I mean, clearly, because they've kept him in the team through probably, five poor games? He played all right in the first round.
Kicked three against Freo.
Yeah, I think he was okay in that game, and then he's had
But that three, didn't a couple of those come late? A bit like Cameron, they were a bit, you know, party was on, you know, belting had happened.
Possibly. I can't remember when he kicked them. I mean, at least he did contribute three goals. He hasn't contributed, what, one since, has he? Two.
He has kicked in that since then. Sorry, just going back, he kicked two. So he's averaging 8.5 disposals a game. Now, through the first, so that's through the first six games. Through the first six games last year, he was averaging about 9.5 disposals a game.
He kicked.
But he was kicking goals. But this stage of the year, he'd kicked 10 goals.
Yeah. Well, he's not a high possession winner. He's not going to get the ball 20 times.
His highest disposal count last year was 18, and that was against North Melbourne. You and I could have got 18 against North Melbourne last year.
I don't know about Kingy. I'm not sure about that, in fairness. I don't know.
Oh, I might have.
You're confident, were you? You're confident you get 18 and three goal assists, huh?
Oh, something like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm unselfish.
I would have. I could say something now that would get us thrown off the air.
I'd get you thrown off the air, not me.
But I won't. I won't, King. I'll refrain. I'll do some refraining.
Yes.
Yeah, look, it's reached the point where a decision probably has to be made. The fact that they've kept him in the team across those five games, though, suggests that they do. They're doing everything they can to keep him in the team because they realise his ability to impact the game at the highest level,
yep.
Particularly big games. We saw that in the prelim last year. So do they keep it going, or do they go and talk to him and say, look, we think you're part of the team, but you know, clearly you're having a bit of a down patch. Let's just go and find a bit of the footy. Who do the VFL play this week?
Carlton.
Right. So that, are Carlton any good?
No.
Probably not. They've got a big injury list.
No, they're at the bottom rungs of okay.
Well, he might go back if it's a game where Geelong win comfortably. He might go back and kick three or four.
Yep.
If they're spanking
the
opposition,
and then you bring him back.
Well, I don't know. You probably give him at least maybe another one.
Problem is, the VFL don't play the week after.
Right. Well, then they got Collingwood, so you got to make a decision there. But anyway, a decision probably needs to be made. If they give him another week, he'd want to find some form. But we said the same last week, and he didn't. Albeit it was a pretty hot game. Carlton this week, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Does Ollie Wiltshire get a crack?
I don't know enough about him. I mean, you seem to get a little bit sort of, you get a bit of movement, Kingy, when you talk about him. I don't know anything about him other than he's from Bowen Heads.
Yep.
So
he's been emergency three or four
clearly,
times this year.
Well, that's a good sign that they want to give him a game. Maybe it might be the time to pull the trigger. Does he play the similar role to...
Probably a little bit more stay-at-home-ish to grind. He's not going to be running off half.
So he plays a closer alignment to what Ollie Henry plays.
But, yeah, but not as tall and probably not as high-flying. But a ball on the ground, he'll be really good.
Oh, well, that's probably a good time to bring him in with Myers out. Has he got a good tank?
Yes.
Can he get up the ground?
Yes.
And be a link player?
Can he get...
You just said he couldn't.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have thought he can do what grind does. Nobody can do what Grind does.
So that's going to be a big hole for the Cats.
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
Well, I think Stengel's probably going to play a little bit.
I don't know if I want him doing that. Has he got the tank? I don't want him doing that for four quarters.
No,
he can do it for a bit.
Because nobody can do what Grind does. Like, that's... You don't look at the team and go, well, there's another Grind there that's playing that role, do you?
No, but you've got to have a tank to do that. So that's the... That's the first prerequisite.
Yeah.
You have an ability to run.
Wiltshire's got an ability to run. I just don't know where the first AFL game. He's coming up to play at a completely different level than he's ever played before.
No, well, look, now might be the time to bring him in. Yeah. Have you heard any whispers that he might come in?
It was interesting. Sean Manor did a bit of media yesterday, and I raised the prospect of Ollie playing.
Yeah.
And he sort of stumbled over the answer in terms of, you know, when he comes in. And then he sort of corrected himself, if he comes in. So he went from when to if, as if to say, I shouldn't have said when because that might come across as I know something.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether...
So you think he's in?
I think he's a massive... Well, put it this way, they'll name a squad tonight.
Yep.
He'll be on the extended bench.
Any other changes?
None that stick out. I watched a little bit of the regen session yesterday on Geelong Cricket Ground when they do...
The what?
It's regeneration. They do a bit of running to...
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, regen.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah,
that's what they call it.
A regen session. Yeah. What are they getting? Sort of like a cryogenic chamber, do they?
Out on Geelong Cricket Ground.
I just start laughing. Say, what? You kidding me?
It's just recovery.
Yeah, it's called recovery. Yeah, you're recovering from the game. Yeah, yeah, right. When someone says that, why don't you just go, look, that... So you were talking about recovery, yeah. You've got a fancy word for recovery.
It's like when they're just doing skills work. They call it craft. It's just skills. You're just working on your kicking and handballing.
Yeah, I know.
And a bit of stoppage stuff.
I know. It's almost embarrassing, really.
People have to justify their roles. Yeah, they have to come up with fancy names.
Craft. When someone said, first time I heard craft, I envisaged people sticking things to paper and, you know, and sewing or something. I didn't realise they were talking about footy. Yep. You're doing a craft session.
Working on your craft.
Oh, you're the footy club? Yeah, it's a craft session. Hmm. All right.
A bit of macrame and paper mache.
I'm a black belt in macrame.
Paper. Did you like paper mache as a kid when you get the balloon, blow it up, and then cover it in that really sticky slop?
I didn't.
Put newspaper.
No, I never was arty. I was never arty. I didn't get that gene. So I can't draw, so stick figures are as far as I can go.
Are you good at Pictionary?
Who? Pictionary? No, I'm no good at that. Do you know what I was? I wasn't good at it. But do you know what used to make me chuckle?
Yeah. was
at school was year 10 woodwork.
Why?
Because I made some things that weren't always, you couldn't always present as work.
Right.
On my lathe.
Yeah.
And we used to go down to, for St. Joe's, we used to go down to the old Western, what's it called? The Western Heights, what's it called?
Yeah, West Tech.
West Tech. So we used to go down there in year 10 because we didn't have any lathes at St. Joe's, so we couldn't do any of that sort of stuff. So we used to trundle by bus down there for two periods a week, and we had to make things.
Mm. Were yours phallically shaped, Ben?
One was, and I got a little slap on the wrist from the teacher, because I was making two things at once, Kingy. I was making what we were supposed to be making, and I was also making something that made my fellow students just have a little bit of a chuckle. And fair to say, it was enormous too, Kingy. It wasn't just a regulation size. But so that's where I sort of really blossomed in that woodwork session.
The other one is Mitch Nevitt.
Yes, well, he got corky, did he? Bad corky.
Yeah, so he struggled through
his regen session.
Well, no, he struggled through the rest of the game.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, barely touched it. He wasn't listed on the media injury report. O'Sheen Mullen was, they expect him to be right.
Is there another midfielder we can bring in?
Well, George Stevens has been.
Was he emergency last week?
Yes, loitering with intent.
If I wouldn't be playing Mitch Nevitt if he's sore.
Mm.
I mean, he needs to be. Any player does, but he needs to be at 100% to compete. And we saw that on Monday afternoon in a red hot game. He copped a knock early and was, you know, really struggling to get involved from then on in. So he hasn't had the experience to overcome an injury. If he's even at 90%, I'd be getting in. So Stevens is a what, 6 foot type midfielder?
Yeah, a bit taller than that. I reckon he might be 6'1", 6'2".
What's his one wood?
He's tough at the contest. And he's very good.
Would you just bring Closey in and play him for the whole game?
Good use for the ball, Stevens. Stevens is a better use of the footy than Closey.
Right. Well, maybe it might be an opportunity to drop. Could Stevens be the sub?
Potentially, yep.
And Closey comes in and plays the whole game?
Yeah, wouldn't.
You wouldn't be against that?
George Stevens is 189, that's 6'2".
Yeah, so that's just a run of the mill. What's Tom Atkins listed as?
Height-wise?
Yeah.
Well, let me have a look. Is coming in at 180.
Because I saw 180. Because I saw, what's Jai Clark listed as?
Jai Clark. Yeah, he's high 170s, Jai Clark.
No, he's got to be taller than that.
Jai Clark?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh.
I reckon he'd be way over 180.
Jai Clark is 181.
Yeah, there you go. So, because I saw him at the Leopold v. St. Joseph's game.
Yeah.
And I was surprised how big, you know, he looks quite small on the ground.
Yep.
I was surprised how big he is. When I say big, because the Giants out there playing, you see somebody like that, and it's Tommy Atkins. I mean, Tommy Atkins doesn't look that small, probably because he's reasonably well put together.
Yep.
Clark is still on the skinnier side, and he looks quite small. But when I saw him in person, I thought, geez, you're way bigger than you look on television. So, anyway, let's hope he gets back in, because I did hear someone during the week, at the game actually on Monday, who is very well versed in football journalism, has been doing it for a long, long time, was quick to tell me that those within the club have told him that they're not sold that Jai Clark is the deal, that they think that he might be on the way out.
Yeah, right. Big Cooper Stevens from a few years ago.
Yeah. Okay. I thought, oh, it's a bit harsh. He goes, oh, no, I've heard it from people at the club.
Yeah, right. That doesn't necessarily mean it's right.
But well, no, that's what I sort of tried to point that out to him. I said, you know, like, I think he has. Maybe I'm wrong. But, anyway, he was quick to say that he'd heard it from people within the club that they're concerned, were his words, that Jai Clark isn't good enough.
KFCX, Daz, yeah. Broncos, Tom Atkins is listed as underappreciated on the height scale.
Yes, very well done, Daz.
Hello, Daz, in Burbank.
He's had a great year. He's had a really good year. He'd be top two in their BNF?
Yep, top three. Yeah, top three.
Yeah, I reckon he'd nearly be leading it, possibly.
It'd be a great story.
I can't believe he didn't get a vote in that game. It'd be fantastic if he won it.
Well, it's interesting too because the coaches vote on the Kaji as well. Now, do their votes on the Kaji reflect what they've voted in
the
coaches'
association? Will you see the Kaji votes for the round?
We do, yeah.
We'll be able to marry them up.
Yeah.
See what happens. I guarantee you Chris Scott didn't do those votes. Yeah. Guarantee no coach
so
does.
Keep an eye on round six versus Hawthorn and how they come out.
Do you reckon that on, you know, after, when are they going to put those coaches' votes in?
Oh, I've no idea.
Right. But so they're probably, you know, someone will walk past their, you know, they've got a meeting to go, because they're always having meetings. They'll have a meeting about something and then someone will poke their head to say, don't forget to do your coaches' votes.
A meeting about a meeting?
Yeah. Don't forget to do your coaches' votes. Oh, right.
So Meyer's definitely out. A watch on Mitch Nevitt with it, although he wasn't listed on the media injury report. O'Sheen Mullen should be okay after being a late withdrawal.
Do you reckon he comes straight back in? Play on Motlop?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're keen to keep. It's like Connor O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Just keep playing him. I think Connor
I think Connor O'Sullivan has O'Sheen Mullen covered.
Yeah, no, but I'm just talking about Connor O'Sullivan probably is nearly at. I think they'll be looking forward to Henry and Colajasny being available.
So Colajasny's back this week.
He'll play in the
false
VFL.
False start last week.
Yeah, just a back issue. Just woke up with a bit of a...
Not in bed.
Twinge.
Is it a bed?
No,
bed
I don't think it was bed related.
Well, he has a child.
Yeah.
And a wife.
I don't think it was bed related.
You don't think it was?
No. Anyway.
What's the worst thing you think you could happen to you in bed?
I don't know, Ben.
What do you think?
Can I keep doing this podcast, please, instead of you being an imbecile? I would think that Henry and Colajasny, once they come back, that might be when O'Sullivan might get a spell.
Have a rest.
Yep. He's still going to get his 15.
Can you see them existing in the one back line?
Yep.
And De Koning.
Yep.
So you'll have De Koning.
Yep.
You would have Lawson Humphreys.
Yep.
You would have Zach Guthrie.
Yep.
You would have...
Tom Stewart.
You would have Connor O'Sullivan.
Jake Colajasny.
You would have Jack Henry. And you would have...
Jake Colajasny.
So you'd have seven defenders.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
I'm comfortable with that.
Possibly.
And you would have De Koning.
I just
De Koning and Blitzarves would spend some time. Blitzarves especially would spend some time.
Well, Blitzarves wouldn't play in defence.
No, spend more time.
My only concern with that, Kingy, is that you have, I suppose you have Guthrie, Stewart and Humphreys as rebounders because you're not going to get a whole lot from Jack Henry as a rebounder. He'll take the odd mark defensively, same with Colajasny, but they're not rebounding type players as such. You're certainly not getting a huge amount of rebound from Connor O'Sullivan, who perhaps will develop that as he plays more, but he's not, at his height, he's not really a rebounding creative type defender. But you do have three. It might be a mix that would work. It might be dependent on who they play,
I think the
opposition have got.
But I think that's a good defensive mix Geelong have got.
Yeah, you probably have to have seven defenders, so I'm not against that. I just wonder whether you're a little bit tall.
Yeah. The bloke that, unfortunately, I don't think we'll see much of again is Jed Buse.
You think he's done?
Yeah. Well, just where do you find a spot for him?
Well, so the other one is Mullen. So if there's eight defenders. Yeah. So I'm adding eight. Are you adding Mullen in as well?
Yeah. But you've got to play six. You've got to play six on the ground. You've got four on the bench.
Yeah.
You can mix and match.
But you've got to be – the thing is, with that sounds great, but then they've got to be a bit more versatile.
Yep.
So you've got Henry, who's a clear defender.
Well,
Colajasny is a clear defender.
Benny, as much as you hate this, maybe when Colajasny and Henry are back, De Koning's going back to playing in the ruck.
And then what happens to Stanley? He's out the gate.
Out the door again.
I think that would be a mistake, Tom, to be doing that.
Yeah.
We've had two really good wins. I'd argue De Koning, albeit his stats aren't, he's been among their better players in both games. He's got his confidence back. He's got his mojo back as a defender. Now, Reece Stanley, does he want to play every week? Probably not. They probably have to be a bit
selective,
proactive in managing him. But the way he has played across the last few weeks has allowed De Koning to go back. Stanley has been more than adequate. He's held his own. He hasn't starred, but he's been all right. It's allowed Blitzarves to play other roles. We heard James Kelly say that as well. It's allowed, you know, Blitzarves then can be a bit of a Swiss Army knife, could go back, could play in the midfield, could go on the wing, could do some tagging, can drift forward maybe and kick a goal.
He's actually done that a little bit this year.
Yeah. So he can do all those sorts of things because Stanley is in the ruck and De Koning is holding down back. Now, if you suddenly switch De Koning back into the ruck where he struggled, why would you do that? What would be the reason of... He struggled in the ruck. You put him down back, and in two big games, he's been among their better players. And the man you've got in there who plays in the ruck, Stanley, has been okay. So you want to take him out, put De Koning back, which means it limits your ability to use Blitzarves. I don't see any upside to doing that whatsoever.
It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
But do you agree with me or not?
No, I don't disagree with you.
They always crap on about versatility. Oh, you got to be versatile, which I get. Having people playing sometimes in their positions allows somebody to be versatile. And the man that they allow to be versatile is Blitzarves, which he's not going to be anywhere near as versatile if De Koning's in the ruck and getting hammered. He has to play down back, particularly if they've got a couple of key forward. I mean, you cannot... If is one player... It's the type of player that Jack Henry has struggled on is the 200-centimetre forward.
Yeah. He's got to be playing on your 190 to 195.
He and Colin Jasny are fine on those sort of slot, you know, the Jack Gunston, the 6'3" type forward. That's their role. If you suddenly pop a 202-centimetre forward down there, that's where they struggle. So you've got De Koning. Sometimes I'm all for versatility, but sometimes I think it can be overthought and you end up bringing yourself undone. And we've seen in the, albeit a small sample size for the Cats this year, we've seen what works, and we've seen what hasn't worked. And what's worked against two good opposition is De Koning in defence, Stanley in the ruck, Blitzar's been all over the place. What didn't work was De Koning in the ruck got peppered, absolutely peppered. Yep. The first game against when he played the bloke who'd played three games at Port Arlington and never played in the ruck, he went all right. Other than that, he got his pants pulled
Marshall.
Down. And if they put him in the ruck this week against his brother, I'm going to run onto the field. I will streak onto the field. Oh. As dressed in pink and just say, mate, off, down the back, get down back. Get down back, son! Get down back!
Cat Attack podcast on Big Footy. Son of God 29. K-Rock crew outstanding again on Easter Monday. The Son of God 29.
Yeah.
Dash Brothers. Oh, that's nice. The Dash Brothers. Max and Baz at it again. Didn't realise Bailey was going to have the impact he's had in such a short time with the club.
Well, I agree with the Son of God. Do you think he'd be related to the Lamb of God? I agree. I've been really pleasantly surprised with Bailey Smith. I mean, we always thought he was a good player, but his last couple of years, I mean, clearly he didn't play last year, but even the year before that, he probably drifted off a bit. Fell out of favour with Luke Beveridge, started playing. Here we go. They played him out of position, and he went shit. It's amazing, isn't it? He was playing sort of wing, half forward, a little bit on the ball. He struggled. He's come to Geelong. Why do you think he came to Geelong?
Because they were going to play him in a position.
They were playing him in a position that he wanted to play in the midfield. And do you know where he did his most damage for the Bulldogs?
In the midfield.
Yeah. This is why I think sometimes clubs get too smart by half. So the Bulldogs had him humming as a midfielder. Suddenly, oh no, we can't have him in midfielder. He's got to be versatile. Well, he went crap and ended up out the door. Do you reckon the Bulldogs would like to have him?
I'd love him.
Yeah, playing like he is.
Yep.
Yeah. I've been really surprised with his defensive running. I was talking to someone yesterday, Kingy, who was formerly at the Cats, and he was saying that couldn't believe how competitive Bailey Smith is at training.
Yep.
Like competitive to the point where it's like, hang on.
Yeah, brain it in.
Yeah. Yep. Well, not in a bad way.
No, but just, like, geez. Just be careful. Oh, don't hurt anybody.
Yeah. I don't want to get beaten. He's relentless. Yep. Relentless. His running is relentless. He's unbelievably fit. And they were saying that, it was an eye-opener for some of the players down there as to how he went about it. So, and that's the way he plays. And he's playing with some confidence. And I've said this before. I've really been really pleased with how skillful he is. I mean, he's going to get the odd hat kick because he's under pressure. That's fine. But if you give him a bit of space, he actually... I mean, that kick into Dempsey was an absolute beauty.
Yep.
That was a kick of a player that is on top of his game and has real skill. I always thought he was a bit of a turnover merchant to a degree, but he's been absolutely fantastic for the Cats, and let's hope it continues, because if Geelong don't have Holmes and Smith playing well, I think they're in trouble.
Yep.
Because Dangerfield then probably has to go into the midfield. And then you'd be expecting Ollie Henry then, who's probably out of form, to come in and play well. And it's
good thing was, when Geelong, for a while there, Hawthorn got on top in the midfield, Geelong didn't pull the Dangerfield lever.
But they never. I don't think they ever got on top to the point where you were thinking, God, we're getting whipped here.
No, but there'd be time where you go, oh, gee, hang on, they've got a bit of momentum here.
Yeah.
They were clearing it out a couple of times with a relative ease.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've gone, do you know what, no. And the fact that Danger himself, because once upon a time he would have pulled the lever himself, going, hang on, I've got to go and sort this out.
Well, I think as long as the scoreboard's close, I think it's when the scoreboard starts to go a bit skew-iff like it did against St Kilda, where you've got to throw him in there. But as long as the scoreboard is still a 50-50 ledger, I think you leave him up forward. And as Geelong is still winning enough supply to get it down to him,
yep.
That's going to be the absolute key. But Smith and Holmes, if one of those gets injured long-term, I think the Cats are in trouble, because, I mean, no one's going to be able to replace that type of play. But Geelong certainly don't have anyone capable of having that sort of burst and that sort of impact on the game in terms of running 15 and kicking at 50.
Atkins massive again, going full Buddha hocking in the midfield, must be leading the Kaji in the early stages. Yep. Touched on that. Grind a massive loss for Sunday after getting knocked out 1980 style.
Yep.
Happy with 4 weeks?
I thought five would have been the go.
Pleaded guilty.
Yeah.
He could not.
So did Jeffrey Dahmer. He got life. But I don't know. I thought five would have been... I thought five, and Nash is not a. He doesn't have a reputation as a dirty sort of player.
Not thuggish,
but he made a massive mistake. Mm. I mean, he missed the ball by miles, and he had the biggest swinging arm you've ever seen. I'm not actually sure what he was trying to do.
No.
He's knocked the bloke out clean.
Yep.
I mean, some people were saying it was similar to what Voss did to Vlorsdon. Thinking, have you seen that? What Patrick Voss did?
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
No, different sphere.
I mean, he got three. Scrimshaw got three for a pretty crude sort of hit on Ridley. But there was nothing compared to this. Mm. I thought this was 5 weeks. But anyway, he's got four. And I reckon Grind will miss one or two?
The early signs are that he's progressing well.
Yeah.
It's whether he's got to progress through. If he doesn't progress through properly, if I was a betting man, I don't reckon he plays against Collingwood.
I reckon you might be right.
I'm happy to lose that money. But
it'd be really interesting to see how he comes through this.
Yeah.
Because it can impact players long beyond.
Absolutely.
And he's such a pivotal player. He'll be really sorely missed on Sunday. So I have this feeling this is a danger game for the Cats. This is a sort of game where they'll be five goals down at quarter time and, you know, make some sort of big run and lose by a point. But he's sort of irreplaceable in terms of the way he plays.
A fair streak too. He played 70 odd.
Yeah, it's disappointing, and to be missing in the fashion that he's missing. Mm. Like, I mean, it was through no fault of his own. I spoke to a former player during the week too, King. I didn't speak to a lot of people this week, didn't I? I spoke to a former player yesterday, and we were commenting on the. I said to him, "What do you think about Nash? You know, how many do you think he'll get?" And he said five, and I thought, yeah, that's sort of what I agree with, and. We both then commented at the same time, I couldn't believe one Geelong player remonstrated.
Oh, didn't remonstrate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't.
Didn't see...
I saw Tom Stewart sort of looking a bit, you know, as if he was... I think he was giving it to Nash, but not one player. And the former player couldn't believe it himself. Like, he was staggered that nobody actually remonstrated at all with Connor Nash, who just knocked a teammate out clean with the biggest round out since Bob Orton hit, Jimmy Snookerfly. What was his name? Jimmy the Fly.
I didn't watch the wrestling.
I think he might have hit, I don't know, Cowboy Bob Orton had a big cast on his arm, and his go-to was the big windmill, just Connor Nash style, exactly the same. And he gave it to, I forget who it was. It might have been Nikolai Volkov, Kingy, who was wrestling solo without the Iron Sheik.
Does this give Ollie Wiltshire a chance? Yes.
Might have been Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
The 35 doing what no 35-year-old should be able to do, leave him in the goal square. Please, for the love of God, get Charlie McCartan in the mid-season draft. There is no spot on the Cats list, so Charlie McCartan won't be coming to Geelong unless there's a spot.
He's, what, 27?
Yep.
I think that ship is that ship with a P.
Has sailed.
Yes.
Howler 41, we lost the Pope, but he went out the same way I'd like to, just after a Cats win over the Hawks.
Well, somebody did suggest that he was listening. He was listening to the Cats, the K-Rock call, and it got too exciting.
Ollie Henry struggling big time, seemingly got zero interest in providing defensive pressure, laying six tackles all season.
Yep.
Shannon Neal didn't have huge numbers, but his spoiling tackle led to the Cats' match-winning goal late, laid five tackles for the game. Henry could look at this as a way to stay involved.
Well, I said that last week. You got to find ways to get involved that aren't your normal way of impacting the contest. We're used to Ollie Henry marking the ball and kicking some goals or providing something that's dangerous forward of centre. He's not doing that. Now, Shannon Neal had a moment that last quarter he wouldn't want to see again when he jumped off the line of the ball and Hawthorn got a goal out of that. He was horrible for a bloke who's 203 and 100 kilos.
Yeah.
I've seen the replay of it. Anyone doesn't want to be doing that. But he jumped off out of the line of the ball, allowed the Hawthorn ball play out of body line. They got a goal.
I reckon Ollie Henry did the same with Marby or Chole in the middle of the ground.
Possibly. But then soon after that, he took a contested mark on the wing, and then he was involved obviously with this pressure late that got the man a goal. So he redeemed himself. But he's a young player who's going to have poor... Let's put it this way. Shannon Neal is going to have more poor games than good games at this stage
until
of his career.
Until about year five.
Yeah, and then he's still going to have some poor games.
Which reminds you of a bloke called Hawkins.
Yeah, who was playing in the twos 5 years in.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but he's just got to compete. There were some times there where he got outmarked. He just can't afford to get outmarked.
But there were some marks he took too that were...
Exactly. And he is that type of player because he's so athletic that will make the opposition nervous. So there was a chance they give away a free kick because he's so athletic, he can get the ball. If he's marking at the highest point, he's almost impossible to stop. So, but he's just got to... His impact hopefully gradually builds. He goes from an eight-possession player... averaging, let's say this year, eight possessions and maybe a goal a game, to next year being a 12-possession player.
To a goal and a half.
Goal and a half. To being, in 4 years' time, a 15-possession player and three goals a game.
Kicking 60 goals.
Yeah, that's what you want to see.
With Myers likely added, like Jai Clark, to come into the side, Nevitt also quiet but just needs game under his belt. I'd be open to Ollie Henry going back to the VFL to find some touch. Yep. Could this be the week they look at Wiltshire?
Yeah, we discussed all that.
He only had five touches in the VFL but kicked two goals. But they're not judging Ollie Wiltshire on last week. They're judging him on
He had five possessions for the game.
Yep.
Yeah, no, he's not. You couldn't bring a bloke in off that.
Stanley was shaded by Big Meek, but by no means dominated, which is all we ask of a big man.
He competed.
Yep.
He competed. He doesn't. And even if he's getting slightly beaten, we can put up with that. But it's when he has those games where he gets absolutely dominated is when you've got a problem. But as long as he's giving you something, even if I mean, Meek won the battle. If you're just going head-to-head, Meek won the battle.
Yep.
But Stanley certainly provided something for his team, which is what you want to see.
G'day, lads. Great call Monday. This is from Khan Catters. Without wanting to pile on Henry, I was at the game and spent time watching him. Two plays stood out. One was a 50-50 ball where he tried to win it with a Hollywood-style one-hander and spin.
Yep.
That was the one against Chole in the ground, who bodylined it and won the ball. The second was a 50-50 contested mark where it came to the ground and his opponent ran off and received the handball. Henry walked, I repeat, walked after him. You can be out of form, but when effort isn't there, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I actually think I remember that passage of play. It was Hawthorn going to the right of your radio dial and it was just inside the centre square and he had an opportunity to at least halve a contest and he didn't, and then his bloke just ran away from him and he was basically just sort of walking after him. In fact, I think one of his teammates even ran past him to sort of try and provide some sort of pressure. So, yeah, look, he's out of form. It's unfortunate. It's going to happen. And he's got to find a way to work through it because I think he can be a contributor to the team. At the moment, he's not.
Dudas Maximus, is Chris Scott the best coach going around? What strengths do his individual assistant coaches bring to the caper?
Well, we've heard that from Mark Neal that James Kelly is quite forthright in his opinions.
Yep.
I don't know if that's always been the case with the Cats assistant coaches, Kingy.
There was one that was very forthright. He's no longer there.
That's right. The ones that were no longer there.
Yeah.
So he's apparently he's very has strong opinions on how things should work and how players should operate. You know, we hear good things about Stephen King.
Yeah. Well, you don't get down to...
Very diligent, I think, Stephen King. And James Kelly, from what we hear, we speak to him a lot on K-Rock, has a good footy brain, sees things pretty well. Nieldy has an association with him through Essendon and speaks highly of how he goes about it. So maybe James Kelly, to some degree, is challenging Chris Scott a little bit, maybe bringing some new ideas, which are being accepted by Chris Scott.
Because James Kelly didn't leave the club of his own accord when he was
No, he got
retired.
Pushed out the door.
Yeah.
He got absolutely pushed in the back and there was no free kick.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy about that.
He wasn't. There was a lot of them weren't.
No.
Heap of them.
Johnson.
Joel Corey. Paul Chapman. Hunt. Jimmy Bartel. There was a zillion of premiership players who were moved on by the current coach.
Yep.
So, but maybe, obviously, they've healed that relationship, but maybe at this stage of his coaching career now, particularly with the premiership now that he's won, Chris Scott has been a little bit more open to feedback on things. I'm only guessing. I have absolutely no idea. But these are sort of things that Nieldy was suggesting that James Kelly perhaps brings to the table. And then you've got James Raleigh. Well, he's been at the club before. My understanding is that so James Raleigh had a fantastic relationship with Dan Menzel, really strong relationship with Dan Menzel. And he was very good. Dan used to say that James Raleigh was a very good communicator with the players.
Yep.
And was very good at doing your vision and your cut up and your edits and all those sorts of things and communicating things one on one to players as to how things work, what they need to work on. So I think that's probably his strength. I think he has a really good connection with a lot of the players within that playing group. So, I mean, they all probably bring something different, but it's certainly working at the moment.
The Cattery 2007, after seeing my. And Chris Scott is in the upper echelon of coaches. We know that.
He is.
You don't have a best part of 70% win record over 15 seasons.
No.
If you can't coach.
And maybe Kingy, and this is again only guessing, you know, maybe Chris Scott has mellowed a little bit in terms of his outlook and how he goes about it. Maybe his ways have changed a little bit. I mean, the team's got quite a bit younger. He doesn't have that enormous core. He's got a good core of older players, but he doesn't have the same numbers that he used to have. So maybe he's had to change his ways a little bit and change with the times. I mean, you expect players to change with the times. We expect players to be versatile. Maybe he's got a little bit more versatile as a coach.
The Cattery 2007, after seeing Myers get smashed at the start of the third quarter, I'm starting to support a send-off rule. I'm still not for that.
Lee Matthews was.
Yeah, who delivered one of the most fearsome blows on a football field.
That's right. Actually, he was awful.
So, sorry, just on that, just as a segue, and some sad irony here, I was at a function last night that Steve Hocking, Steve Johnson, Stephen Wells all spoke at. And Steve Hocking, obviously, he delivered his own share of retribution to Lee Matthews after what
he did,
Lee did to Neville Bruns. So that footage was actually played as part of the lead into Steve.
I'm sure Steve would have been liking that.
Well, I don't know whether Neville Bruns, who was in the crowd, would have probably wrapped to see himself getting clobbered again.
No.
Anyway, that's by the by. The gentleman, one of the first trainers on the scene was a gentleman by the name of Lee McConachy. Lee was a long-term trainer at Geelong. He served in the 80s, went away, came back. Lee passed away this morning. And I know Lee through family. Cracking bloke. The 80 to 82 reserve grade premiership teams, he was a trainer for those teams, and he knows a lot of those boys. He was from Inverleigh, so Dale Smith, Malcolm Reid, who else was from out that neck of woods? There was a few of them from out that came in from Inverleigh, so he knew him. They knew him really well. Just very sad that, I was at a function last night where that was played. And Lee, if you see the photo, there's three people in the photo, George Clark, the trainer, Hugh Seward, was the doctor.
So I know Hayden, his son.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Lee was actually the player sort of cradling Neville Bruns off the ground.
Did they ask Steve to talk us through it or not?
No.
I'm not sure that would have been. What was the reaction of Steve?
He was happy to talk about it.
Yeah. Right. So what did he say?
Oh, he just talked. Well, he talked about how he got hate mail and stuff like that
from Hawthorn supporters.
Yep. But he also got a bloke sending him $20 that he had to send back because he couldn't accept it.
That's fantastic.
So, he told that story. Kattery 07, after seeing Myers get smashed, I know we've done that story. Suddenly after the halftime break, he's concussed out of the game following a swinging arm to his head. There was neither a bump or a tackle. Do we do a review of scores? Surely the third umpire can review that act to make a decision whether it's worthy of a send-off. Yeah. You start getting, just if you get that wrong, you start getting into very murky waters.
Well, Lee Matthews was saying that you'd have to wait till somebody subbed out of the game with concussion, and then... and then that person that's delivered that retribution is, or delivered that blow, is then sent off.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, what if it takes 15 minutes in that time they've kicked four goals?
Yeah. Yep. Daz Broncos tweeted early to you lot, all the makings of another Easter Monday thriller, and it was. Great call, great win. Benny, I was off the plastic when Neil did his business, like the work rate late in the game to apply defensive pressure.
Yeah, it was
in
good.
Repeat efforts to cause a spill to manner for the game.
It was good. It was good to see that.
Lots of Harley Reid talk again with more future picks on the table to trade. How much is too much? Can we avoid a Herschel Walker? Benny should remember the Cowboys to Vikings style trade and get it done.
I don't remember exactly the ins and outs of that Herschel Walker trade, but I do remember it was put your helmet on. Herschel Walker was the bee's knees at the Cowboys, and I don't know, he ended up at the Vikings. But are we just picking names out of the phone book, like for the Cats? You know, anybody that's, are we still into Zach Butters?
Zach Butters.
You said Zach Butters, yep. And then someone else said Rowell, and I think Harley Reid. Why don't we
put a line through Rowell?
Yeah, I don't think he'll.
You're
go
staying on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Why would Rowell leave the Gold Coast?
Well. No, that's right. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I think it'd be good for footy if he stays. Harley Reid's the one where I think, and I'm not talking about the Cats, I'm just thinking in general, there's no clear vision of when West Coast are going to be any good.
No.
It's hard to sell. It's going to be a hard sell to get players to go to the West Coast right now, given that that vision of being any good is not anytime soon. Mm. Andrew McWalter, I think, is just an interim coach. He'll be gone in a year or two, and he'll get them through this period where they're going to be absolutely rubbish. They'll pick up some more high draft picks. They'll hopefully smart enough to get rid of guys like Duggan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Duggan.
Yo.
Well, he's not even playing.
Yeah.
There's a few there that have...
Cripps.
Well, Cripps has been okay, but they've got to find a way to regenerate. Tim Kelly's lost him. He got dropped 2 weeks ago.
Which is really sad. Because Tim Kelly, when he was here, was so much fun to watch.
He would have been dynamic in this midfield at the Cats. And he probably, at the end of his career, he's going to sit down on the couch and he's going to open up a Melbourne tin and he's going to think, I made one of the great cock-ups of all time by leaving Toulon. I've ended up at this mob and then they've dropped me and they can't win a game. So I think Reid is gettable only because of the situation of his club.
Mm.
But you're going to have to move heaven and earth to get him.
Catters, after a fighting win on Monday, what a buzzkill the second verse of the theme song was. Belting out Fight Like Hell on My Lonesome doesn't quite have the impact the admin officers were hoping for.
No, I don't think they need to drop the old second verse.
Well, the members actually wanted that. That's why they brought it in.
Well, which members?
Well, it was a push from members. That's what they said.
Well, it's like they told us that the council told us that the constituents didn't want Australia Day.
Constituents.
Well, yeah.
Next time you interview Tommy Atkins, please pass on our recognition of his work rate. To watch it live is just so impressive, possibly more noticeable now with a complete changing of the guard.
Hopefully we get him on, King. I said that. It'd be good to get him on at some point this year and just ask whether he's changed anything in terms of his routine. You know, he certainly, or whether it's just, you know, he's changed absolutely nothing and he's just having a good year because the cards have fallen his way. Because, like I said, last year, I thought he was okay, but only just okay. You thought he might have been on the down. Mm. He's on the up again.
Teddy G, apart from slapping the post three times after the ball has hit it, why do the goal umpires get involved marshalling two players to be in the goal square for 666? Can't they just stand where they're supposed to stand and communicate an infringement when it's incurred?
No, they've got to get involved. You've got to run out and like you're a traffic cop and, you know, they've got to do a warm-up and, you know, the umpires come out miles before the game and have to run around and, like, please. Just put your green top on, shut up, officiate the game. Right? And get off.
Damien Tedesco, Benny and Cass, great call. So just you, not me. What a game and what a crowd. High pressure from the start. Boys, is it me or is Stuart not 100%?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he is 100%. I know they say he misjudged that ball when he ran under it, which is quite possible given it was quite blustery. But I don't think his knee's right. I mean, was it the game down here, Kingy, against, was it Melbourne?
Yep.
Was that when he got injured? No, he got injured.
He got injured in the St Kilda game.
St Kilda game.
He missed the Brisbane game and he came back for the Melbourne game.
And still looked sore. I don't think he's right physically. Now, is that something that is, by playing, is aggravating it, or is it not?
I think the club said that it couldn't make it any worse.
So it's clearly not. It's clearly it seems to be clearly impacting him. So if let's put it this way, do you think then if they were to give him 3 weeks off and not play, he would then come back at 100%?
Not sure.
If that was the case, would you do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would too. Because you want him at 100%. He's a key player for the Cats, and he's seemingly nowhere near the peak of his powers. Is it because of the knee? That's all we can assume.
Well, the 7 or 6.5 quarters Geelong played without him, they actually played okay. So they obviously found themselves behind against St Kilda, but then fought back into the game. They were pretty good against Brisbane. Not many teams are, you know, I know Collingwood did, but not many are going to Brisbane and winning. But the Cats probably look back at that one and go, gee, we probably should have won that one. But anyway, that's
by the way. You see whether JC's ice on his knee straight after the game and those sorts of things. Because if the deal was to give him a month off, and if you could go 2-2 in that month and you get a 100% Tom Stewart returning, I'd be going down that track. If he's going to have to play with this for the rest of the year and playing isn't aggravating it, but he's always going to be hampered, then we might have to get used to being sort of Tom Stewart at 75%.
Chris Quinet, not sure if I'm biased, but I'm loving Bailey showcasing his personality and giving a bit back to the crowd. Really hit home that the big hawk is gone. What are your thoughts on Neil's role in the team? He takes some strong marks up the field, but is impacting the scoreboard.
No, he's still learning the game. We talked about that before. He's still learning. I loved it when Bailey Smith tried to stuff the ball into the ear of Jarman Impey. That's all he was doing. He was seeing whether the Thomas Williams Sharon would fit into his ear, and if he found out that it didn't. Yeah. So don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Only one person in the world where the ball fits into his ear, and that's Prince Charles.
That's got the gun. So King, I don't know where you were going with that.
for once, I actually had you.
I thought I was going to have to edit that out.
We're live. We're not editing anything. Dave Twist, looking at the season rather than week to week, who's in the twos that could step in for Neil? He's clearly not getting dropped, but if he cops an injury or just needs a rest at some point, especially being a younger forward, do we have anyone ready to cover him for a week or two?
No, we don't.
Well, Polkinghorne.
He's a mid-sized.
He's a bit taller than
that. No, he's not a key forward.
He's
not 203.
No,
but we
don't have anybody, but Polkinghorne would get an opportunity potentially.
You'd probably end up playing Patrick Dangerfield as your key forward, which he is anyway. Cameron continues to do his thing. That's when you're probably looking at Ollie Henry to hopefully find some form and come back. I think Geelong would be... I don't know if you'd want that long term, but I think Geelong could cover it for 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. With what they've got.
Yep. Rexy, the Cats are still playing games with the injury list. 12 players named, yet only 2 with estimated return times. They continue to be a club that dislike being transparent in regards to injuries. Just on that, the club have defended it by saying, well, if we give a time frame and they don't come inside that time frame back to playing, you guys didn't have a crack at us.
No, they don't.
That's crap.
Who's done that? What? So if it says 4 weeks and he's out for 6, people are knocking on the door saying
you
were wrong.
Well, after 4 weeks, we do say, hang on, you said...
Well, you just say it's another couple. We got it. We're out by a week. This is not an exact science. Just give us a time frame. They're giving no time frame whatsoever. So clearly either they've got no idea or they're just playing ducks and drakes. I'm tipping they're playing ducks and drakes.
Premiers, great game, and the Cats showed a lot to grind it out, but neither side played that well, in my opinion. Ollie Henry should be charged admission, as he's just a spectator at this point.
Oh, jeez. Trespassing.
8 tackles in 6 games is an effort thing and nothing else. Bring in Wiltshire or Polkinghorne. It won't be Polkinghorne, but Wiltshire's a chance.
5 possessions in the twos. Mm. God.
Yeah, but before that was pretty
handy. Yeah, well, maybe. If you're only touching it 5 times in the twos when they've kicked 90-odd points, this doesn't... bode well. I know he might be a different sort of player, but I think 5, you've got to touch the ball at some point to have an impact.
Mick Howley, will Benny be putting his hat in the ring to be the next Pope?
If I was the next Pope, a few things would happen, Kingy. The Addy would do some sort of expose on my past history, which would mean that
And you've been written about before in the Addy.
I have, yeah. And unfortunately, it blew up my face because it said K-Rock jock to face court, which I wasn't a jock. I never spun a disc in K-Rock, ever.
No, but they wanted the rhyming.
And yes, they did, and they did get that. And then unfortunately, the biggest downside of that, Kingy, was that my mother was volunteering
and she was volunteering with another lady who had the Addy with her. And mum,
so you hadn't told mum.
Mum wasn't aware that I'd transgressed until until the lady showed her the article. In which case, I got it. Please explain. Anyway, mum wasn't impressed because it's, yeah, look, you got to be, you just, what impacts other people. Look, I never did it again, Kingy, so, and nothing happened. I got off.
Nick, Ollie Henry's kicked 2 goals in the last 5 games in his second last We're on Ollie Henry in the league for the year. Has he just had to clear the way for danger, or is he really going that poorly?
He's going poorly, and he's playing in a role he's not used to, and a bloke's taking his spot who's playing it much better, and he's got a profile that's 20 times his, and at the moment it's working for the Cats, so... it's Ollie Henry's got to find a way to work through it. I think the club has to help him work through it. I'm sure they are. And we've, as we mentioned, his teammates seem to be looking out for him, mentioning him, you know, those sorts of things after games. So, look, he's a young player. Can you name me one player in the history of the competition who's played more than 100 games who hasn't struggled at some point in their career?
That's currently playing?
No, just throughout the history of the game.
Do you reckon the 14 ever struggled for the Cats?
Yeah, I reckon he had, you know what, he struggled, he couldn't kick goals, and then he worked on it, he kicked 30 in one season, I reckon. He had his struggles, because he probably played with some injuries at times, and it's all relative. Mm. The struggles of Joel Selwood are going to be different to the struggles of Ollie Henry, but there isn't a player in the competition, Tom Hawkins. Mm. We used to hear every second week, let's move Tom Hawkins on. We've got to get rid of him. We've got to drop him. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. I mean, it's just the way. It's how he bounces back and how he comes through it, because he can be a really impactful player. We could get to a prelim final and you've got Ollie Henry playing well and he could be the difference between winning and losing.
And he nearly was last year.
He was. Mm. Kicked 4.
Paul Marinelli, incredible plums on Scott and the coaching team to not bite the bullet and move Dangerfield into the middle when we were getting beaten at clearance from centre. Really gave the bird Bailey Smith style to the TV commentators. As they said, it was the only way the Cats could win.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, as I said before, it was close enough for them not to be able to do that. Smith and Holmes were playing well. Atkins was playing well. They had enough in the midfield to be, you know, I mean... How long was it going poorly for the Cats?
No, not that long.
No, that's right. You're playing Hawthorn. You're not going to have the momentum for in 4 quarters against any team in the comp. There's going to be times when it's against you. The thing I liked about the Cats was that they shut down Hawthorn's game to kick the ball around. So Hawthorn wanted to kick the ball around and they wanted to switch the ball. Geelong were able to shut all that off at times for long enough periods of time to cause them problems. They had to try and invent some kicks. So I really liked the pressure of the Cats. So that's something that was up. When that was up, they were really on. And in the second quarter particularly, they were in Hawthorn's grill. Hawthorn were really struggling to move the ball, which is what they've been really, really good at. Mm. So it was really good coaching to be able to do that. And then, you know, they found a way when the game was there to be won, they found a way to win, which is always a trait of a good team.
Right. Time for Hydro's Heroes.
Yeah, we've got Hydro's Heroes, Kingy, and we're talking about here...
What numbers have
we
got?
So Hydro, I just have to... if you can do what they call padding, don't you, yeah. Kingy? So
thanks
Hydro,
to...
we're doing... well, we're going to do 7.
7. Ooh.
And 36.
Right.
Worn by the same man. But he did mention too, so Hydro's Heroes. So he was continuing on from last week's G Malarkey discussion, re-having a barrelling licence from fullback. And he thinks that B Graham, or both of those 7 and the 36, would launch the Thomas Williams Sharon, especially with the following breeze from the City End, which he did. I think his longest barrel ended up at about centre forward, didn't it?
Just cleared the centre.
Oh, I reckon it went longer than that. I reckon he did one day, Kingy.
The Ben Graham one.
Yeah, the Ben Graham barrel.
Yeah, Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it just cleared the centre.
Did it?
And he kicked it to it was a turnover.
Right. He could launch the barrel, though.
Yeah, he could. And hence why he
went. So 7. So we're looking at some very, very good players that were 7.
Well, the numbers, so from 75 onwards, those to where Ricky Brown, not qualified.
Old Ricky.
John Brimacombe.
Old Brimmers.
I've never heard of
him. The old Brimmers.
Calvin Matthews.
Brimacombe.
Calvin Matthews.
Yeah, they used to call him Honey.
Brother of...
Calvin, of Lee.
Cement Legs.
Who had the thickest... Who was stationed with the thighs next to the man with enormous thighs. Mm. In, you know who that was?
No.
Gary Malarkey.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So Gary Malarkey wasn't happy, apparently, according to Hydro, that the club recruited a man who had thighs that were bigger than bigger than his.
Oh, Pasties wore number seven.
Pasties
he
peak.
Didn't start. I don't reckon he started in seven, though.
Was he 27?
Yeah. I reckon he started in 27 and then went to seven.
Yes, I think you might be
because
right.
Because he and Calvin Matthews crossed over. And then when Pasties departed.
And when he landed on the hallowed Cadenia Park turf in the chopper.
Yes.
Sent a few. I don't think Mick Turner was overly thrilled with that, was he?
The young man from Boggy Creek.
Paul Couch.
Yep.
So he was an absolute gun, Paul Couch. Brownlow medalist. And I have a bit to do with his brother through work, Bill.
Okay.
Who is a very, 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 very lovely man who likes to have a bit of a laugh. Bill and I usually manage to, we do like to spend a little bit of time with each other.
Tim Callan didn't get to the 50-game requirement. No. And then a young gentleman named Harry Taylor.
Yes, he was reasonably handy.
And Isaac Smith gave good service in 70
So this
games.
This is a tough one, Kingy. This is a tough one because it's a photo finish between Paul Couch.
And Harry Taylor.
Who would you be going with? Do we need a drum roll?
Harry Taylor.
Jeez. I don't know. How many games did Paul Couch play?
Paul Couch played 259.
And how many games did Harry Taylor play?
280.
Oh, jeez. I don't... Do you think it's clear cut?
Yep.
Don't know. Paul Couch was an absolute gun.
Two-time premiership player,
Paul
Harry
Couch
Taylor.
Was Scott Pendlebury before there was Scott Pendlebury. He was...
I'm happy to be overruled.
And do you know what? I am going to go with Paul Couch. Do you know why?
Because
he was... We've mentioned this on this conversation. He was the only player to be fitted with Gary goggles. he used to run out and they'd come out with like... And they looked like welding goggles. He looked like the Red Baron. And every time he got the ball, he would look up and you'd know what he'd look for?
The gazook.
The gazook. He would explode out of the square. And iron out about four blokes along the way. And Couch was so skillful that he rarely missed the Gazuki. Rarely.
All right. So we have to go now. So number seven, Paul Couch.
Well, I'd be like to get some feedback on this from the listeners, okay. what they think. I look, you give it to either. I just remember Paul Couch being... Harry Taylor was a very good player, don't get me wrong. I think Paul Couch was the... was because he was slow, he was one-sided... He never got tackled. His vision was unbelievable. He had a great sidestep. And his skill was just was unbelievable. I don't know. I'd need to phone a friend on that one, King.
Developed print.
Yeah, we might leave that one to Hydro.
Right. So the other number is 36.
Yeah.
And only two players actually qualify over the last 50 years.
So, and I'll tell you, Kingy, one of them will be... Well, is that right?
Yep.
Paul Couliriotis?
No.
Tony Polinelli?
No, well, too old.
Right, so who are the two?
Ollie Henry.
All right.
And Ben Graham.
Well, that's not a developed print, Kingy. That's like an 8-8 length margin there at the moment, unfortunately. I do think that Ollie Henry may end up rivaling Ben Graham, but captain of the club. How many games did Ben Graham play?
Yeah, he played all up more than 200, but he played 70-odd in the 219, same as Tim McGrath,
yep.
Same as Terry Bright.
The recycling man from last week.
The Mars bar.
Yes.
10%.
I was on air, wasn't it? So I just better tell this on for those who were listening on air. So last week, the junior, she does recycling, so just to try and get a bit of extra pocket money. So we'd had a reasonably large Easter. And Monday, I said that we need to go and empty the bin and the recycling bin because it was overflowing. So we went down to the recycling centre with Junior, who was none too pleased, fair I say, Kingy.
Because there was a lot to load.
Well, she just doesn't like doing it. And
you
then,
know you can drive to Breakwater and they do it for you.
Well, I don't need someone else to do it for me. I'm not going that bad. Like, it's like getting someone else to wash your car. I can do it myself. So and the station is just near here. So anyway, I got down there and there's four stations where you can funnel your vessels through. So Ella and I took up two of them and there's two free. So as we're just launching through and I'm watching the thing, the money just grow. It was like the sale of the century jackpot. I look across.
Terry Fright. You know,
the Terry Fright was there. So the Mars bar man, yeah. And he didn't have anywhere near the number of vessels we'd had. He obviously had a quiet Easter. And he left, and I'm funneling him through. I said to Ella, that guy played for the Cats. She could not have given her stuff. She just kept funneling. She wanted to get home. And then as you said, this guy's name straight after I said that.
Greg Wells.
Greg Wells turned up with his Easter vessels, and he was funneling through. I didn't see any kids. I was the only one there with a kid. Anyway, it was quite extraordinary that I'd seen two people involved in the Cats who were both funneling through there.
And
do you know what? This is the Ella made $44. That's 10 cents a can.
You do the math.
Yes.
That's a lot of fizz.
That's a lot of fizzy ones, yeah. It wasn't just me. There was a few of us involved, but it was a
fizzathon.
It was a colossal session across the 3 days.
Yeah, just on Terry Bright and Greg Wells.
Yes.
We're at Geelong West for GFNL coverage. Now, I know this is crossing over to our Cats coverage, but those who followed the Cats back in the day would have followed Geelong West in the VFA and would have gone and watched Geelong on a Saturday at Cadinia Park and then gone to West Oval and watched the Roosters play, watched Joe Radojevic kick piles of goals. And
a big Croatian.
Yep. And they would have had a good affinity with what they were doing. So they're having a 50-year reunion of that Division 1 flag they won in 75. And Terry Bright and Greg Wells and all those guys are going to be there. And Greg Wells is actually going to come on the radio with us.
Right.
Or CarrickFootball.live when we do Geelong West and St Albans.
Oh, good.
And Geelong West are going to wear the old Roosters jumper.
Right.
With the red GW on it and the white jumper. So it should look really cool.
Absolutely.
And they'll be the Roosters for the day and that. So they're, yeah, it should be good.
Greg out of the old petrol. He likes the fizzy now. Well, he did used to like the fizzy until it sort of went a bit upmarket.
Yeah, right.
He probably has to find somewhere else to do his fizzying now.
Is there anything else we need to do, Benny?
I don't think so, Kingy. I think we've covered pretty much every base, haven't we? Forward to... I think this is, dare we say it each and every week, but I think it's a bit of a danger game for the Cats. Carlton got their confidence back to a degree by beating an insipid North, but they got plenty of it. They kicked a heap of goals. They're up and about. Geelong off two pretty tough wins, albeit they've played well. Geelong's best will win. Can they produce their best? Your mind always goes back to St Kilda game where they were horrible. Melbourne, they got the job done but weren't great. But anyway, it's a really interesting game. No Myers. Do they leave out Henry? Plenty to go through, but hopefully the Cats can go. Really important, huge blocking. Carlton, Collingwood, Giants, GWS, Bulldogs. Port Adelaide away.
Yeah, and then the Bulldogs.
That's five. And then I had a look, the back end of the year, it gets a bit easier. Yeah. There's some games that they should be winning.
Two hits at Richmond.
They play North, they play West Coast.
Yeah.
They've got to find it. What would you say, 3-2 over the next five?
Yeah.
Would set them up?
I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon you're right.
Yeah. Good to see you, Benny.
Good work.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.